Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There is a great poem written by the American poet T.S. Eliot called The Wasteland. And in The Wasteland, it talks about the springtime. It talks about April, the time of Pascha, the time of Easter. And it says, April is the cruelest month. And what Eliot is talking about is the fact that throughout the winter months, there has been a lack of active effort on the part of living things. But when the spring comes and the time is right, suddenly the seed is quickened in the ground and awakened. As St. Paul says, we must awake. Sleepers, awake for the time of your salvation. It is closer than when you first believed. The time of your judgment is closer. More about that in a second. The relationship between judgment and the coming of the Lord and our salvation. But St. Paul says, awaken. And Eliot is saying that the seed lying warm in the ground, quiet and asleep, it's painful for that seed to awaken and to begin to do all of the internal changes within itself that are necessary if a green shoot of new life is going to break forth through the ground. And this is how it is for us right now. We stand at the very edge of the beginning of the great Lenten season, the time during which we all together make our strongest spiritual effort. And some of us will fall to the temptation to try to find some way to accommodate this Lenten life to our ordinary life so that we can remain essentially asleep the way we were before, not to have the new life of Christ awakened in us, but to go on somehow the way we have before. And there are many ways to do this. We can find ways of accommodating what we see as the two rigid rules of Lent to our own condition. And we may, some of us actually have unique conditions. Some of us have dietary restrictions or things about us that make it impossible for us to fast in the most traditional way. And 9 times out of 10, the people with those conditions, the last thing in the world they want to do is to humbly accept those conditions. It's kind of ironic. Pride finds a way, under any circumstances, to lay its claim. And so if there are real impossibilities for us as far as fasting is concerned, then that's an opportunity for us to be prideful and try to maintain the strictness of our fast. There are lots of ways of avoiding the reality of awakening and bringing forth this new life. Few of us view the coming of Lent in the spirit of true Christians. And that spirit would be the spirit of joy. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. If that were truly our desire, if our longing were truly for God, then we would greet the beginning of the Lenten season with joy because it is about the coming of the Lord. Metropolitan Anthony of Sorezzo says that if we cannot greet the beginning of the Lenten season with joy, if we greet it with a sense of irritation or some search for a means of accommodation so that we can continue pretty much as was before, but we put up with this. If we can't greet this with joy, then essentially we are still pagans inside. Pagans who clothe ourselves in evangelical vestments he said. It's our religion. It's the requirement of our religion. Maybe we can get a little bit of self-satisfaction and pride out of the fact that only the Orthodox fast like this. Only the Orthodox among all Christians fast entirely from meat, entirely from dairy for 40 days, and then the Holy Week. No one else does this. And even while we're proud of it, we try to find some way around it. But what we're really trying to find a way around is what has to happen if we are actually going to live the new life that God has given us to live. We call ourselves Christians, but the last thing in the world that we want is to live our life as bearers of Christ. To live our life in such a way that we reveal the presence of God in the world. And if that were our longing, if that were our desire, then we would greet the beginning of the Lenten season with joy, not with sense of irritation. It is troublesome. It gets in the way of putting ourselves first. It gets in the way of our settling into the comfort of the winter season. Sharon and I got a gas fireplace. Oh, we love it. We can't wait for it to be cold, you know. So it's not cold, you know. We used to have four seasons, you know. There was snow, remember that? And now it's spring, and where was the winter even? So we haven't gotten to enjoy it as much as we want to, but I can see what we're after. We're after that calm, peaceful evening where it's cold outside, and we have the fire on, and we're warm and cozy, and just kind of comfortable. Really, really comfortable. That's what we want. We don't want the discomfort of actually having to actively live this new life of the spring season. And so I see the coming of the spring with a certain amount of regret. You know, that fireplace is going to be turned off. I'm going to sit there and no one's turning it on in the middle of the summer. Metropolitan Antony describes all of the five Sundays that we use to get ready for Great Lent. And he reminds us that those things that we describe when we think we are just getting ready for the fact that we're going to have to fast are all things that we need to go through during the Lenten season itself. We have to realize that we are blind. We have to call upon Christ to give us light. We live our life in the darkness. We don't live by the light of Christ. We live our lives as pagans, not wanting to be bothered by the fact that Christ is arisen and has given us a light that is just too much trouble to live. Like the publican, we have to recognize that we can't live by rule and law. The publican is the one who uses the rules and the laws to extort money out of others. The tax collector works for the government. We'll tell you what the law on your tax form is all about in order to get money out of you. The tax collector knows what law is about. You can use it to get something out of people who are unwilling to give it. God has given us a law. And what if God comes to us like a tax collector, demanding to be paid his due? Have you fulfilled the spirit of all of the commandments? Have you fulfilled for us Christians all of the things that I've called upon you to do? The law will not save us. The law condemns us. Nobody knows that like a tax collector. He knows how he has used law and rule against others to bring money to himself. The tax collector knows that we can only live by the mercy of those who are able to give mercy, those who have the ability to choose whether to exact the letter of the law or to offer us mercy. He begs God to be that way with him. God expects us to be that way with others. Otherwise, he won't be that way with us. He will be a judge. But the difference is not in God. The difference is in us. It's for us to be one way or to be the other. If we exact the smallest amount that we think is due from others, and demand respect that, for the most part, we don't even deserve, the way we put on a false front to try to show others how important we are, how strong we are, how independent we are, like the tax collector who is wealthy and never admits that the truth of his life is not anything like the show that he puts on. The great thing about Zacchaeus is that he casts all that away. He's not afraid to make himself foolish looking, ridiculous looking. Imagine, Metropolitan Anthony says, the president of the biggest bank in the city suddenly climbing up a tree to see somebody who's coming, as though he were a little kid climbing up in a tree to see the circus coming. It's ridiculous. As long as we want to maintain our pride and our false face, false front, in front of others and in front of ourselves, we're not going to be ready to try to see Christ, to make all of the effort that's necessary to see him, to bring him into our hearts, to bring him into our home, to live like Christ in the world. The last judgment is the time when we come before Christ, and the question that he asks us is, have you been human? Have you been a true human being? Have you loved others as yourself? Metropolitan Anthony reminds us that the standard of our humanity is not to be like we are, it's to be like Christ. He is the one with the fulfillment of our true humanity. And so in the end we will be judged not according to the law, but according to the fullness of the humanity of Christ. Have we lived that life? God has given us the ability to be able to do it. We have the nerve to be proud of being orthodox when we go into the world and we don't live the life that we proclaim that God has made it possible for us to live. Instead, we use our faith as a source of pride to build ourselves up. We have the best doctrine. We have the best teaching. No one has a divine liturgy like us. But we don't do the things that we come here to do in the divine liturgy. And if we finally awaken and realize, I have not longed for God, I have wasted my life among the pigs, and I want to return to God like the prodigal, then Lent is there for us. If our longing and our desire is for true life and for God, if there is anything of the full humanity of Christ in us, we will greet the beginning of the Lenten season with joy and not with a sense of irritation. The things that we have considered up until this day have brought us to the gate of repentance. Now it remains only for us to walk through and to enter into the Lenten effort to see our sins, to have our sins revealed to ourselves to the degree that we can bear it. And Metropolitan Anthony reminds us that if we are able to see more deeply into our sins, rather than pridefully fall into despair, we should rejoice that God has seen in us the ability to be different from what we have confessed as our shortcoming. Otherwise, what's the point? The point is not to bring us to despair. Humility has a function. To be humbled, to receive humility. The purpose of the reception of that humility is for us to be able to change and to live like Christ. Every single one of us in this room is able to live a saintly life with the glory and the perfection and the goodness of God. It is the only reason for our existence, the only reason for our life. And the more we press on during the Lenten season, the more we will be fulfilled in that fulfillment of what it means to be me or to be you. This is the only way to fulfill our lives. And it is available. It is here. The active effort of being a Christian we put on in its most intense way during this season. And we do it not in isolation, but all together. We do it so that we will be able to face the resurrection. And let us pray now that when we reach that day of Pascha, we don't greet it as the day that we can finally be shed of the effort to be Christians and live a Christian life until next beginning of Lent. The Metropolitan Anthony says that the day of Pascha, the day of the resurrection of Christ, and the day of judgment, they are the same. And when we think of Pascha, we don't think of the day of judgment. We already talked about the day of judgment last week. We thought it was like a threat. It's coming. But what we don't seem to understand is that, and remember how deeply orthodox this is, every encounter with Christ is a judgment. How great a judgment is the resurrection of Christ on the holiest of days, on Pascha. It is on that day that is revealed what kind of Christians we are. Do we long for the life that God has given us, or do we really long to return to a pre-Christian paganism where I am the center, I am the standard, and I am the judge of my own humanity, and we live in death and darkness and just phoniness, pretending to be something that we're not, vesting ourselves in the vestments of life, even while inside of ourselves there is nothing but dead bones. It's a moment of truth, how we confront Great Lent, and ultimately how we confront Pascha. Whether it is truly God that we love, and do we love Him enough to decrease, to love ourselves less and less until we forget about ourselves altogether and find that we are transfigured by our love of God? Or is it all a sham for us? Just another way of using God Himself to build ourselves up. We face those moments of truth during the Great Lenten season, when we are encouraged, come more regularly to confession. Don't just fast, but pray and give alms. Make this the active effort to live the life that God has given us to live, that He died in order to make it possible for us to live. Let us simply be true Christians and place Christ at the center of our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.